Join me with CEO Mark Vermeer of ThinkTim, a company that designs, manufactures, installs, and services wastewater recycling units. We had a conversation about the regulatory, commercial, and technological landscapes of global wastewater treatment and found a middle ground where centralized and decentralized systems can work together to provide the best quality water. I'm Sara Knurowska, and you're listening to The Living Revolution. The Living Revolution invites scientists, entrepreneurs, and industry leaders to picture the future of our world, whether it be in ensuring food security or making green tech a reality. We've got you covered. Listen in and enjoy this episode.
In terms of water, what are the key vulnerabilities we are facing?
Climate change obviously increases the volatility of the availability of water. And then civilization that tends to increase the consumption of water. I give you an example. In Mexico, we still run on water that is in most homes distributed by gravity. Now, the moment you have a pressurized system, no pressurized water supply, be that from the municipality or be that at your own home with a pressurized water distribution, your water consumption multiplies by a factor of 50% or double. When you then have shower heads that are not sustainable or environmentally friendly or water efficient shower heads that are consuming 3, 5, 10 liters per minute, but rather 20, your water consumption per person per day increases substantially. From potable water switching to wastewater, and that is the good news, the world has finally understood that wastewater is a tremendous source of value. Not only water, that Israel already understood in the 70s, no, with their miracle of growing oranges in the desert, no, Jaffa. Today, Israel is recycling over 80% of its wastewater in irrigation. Number two is Spain with around 38%. Activated sludge, which is predominant process to treat sanitary or process waters with high organic loads, be it in anaerobic wastewater treatment or in aerobic wastewater treatment where you produce a lot of excess sludge. That sludge obviously serves to produce energy. Thirdly, today, wastewater treatment plants are equipped in the US, but more so in Europe, where we are probably quite advanced in terms of technology development in that field to extract nutrients, which is phosphates and nitrogen and their respective compositions. Talking about water, energy, and there we are again. With the food, water, energy nexus. Wastewater is a source of energy, source of water to be reused in irrigation today, but in the future it will certainly be potabilized. That is, as you rightly pointed out in the beginning, therefore we first need to overcome regulatory hurdles. And wastewater is the source of organically produced fertilizer from an organic source as opposed to a petrochemical source, which is our main, or mines, which is our main sources of fertilizers today, because everything that's nitrogen is from petrochemical sources, and everything that's phosphate is the big mines in Morocco. So to reduce dependence on the mines in Morocco, for example, which are, I think, supplying for something like 70 or 80% of all phosphates worldwide, we can reuse phosphates that are also naturally available by extracting them from wastewater.
How does a typical recycling unit look like? How pure is the water after it goes through one cycle of being recycled, for example?
Well, what you have in wastewater treatment is you have a typical wastewater treatment process consists of pre-treatment, primary, secondary, and tertiary treatment, and advanced treatment. Pretreatment is basically the mechanical removal of solids that are not degradable. Yeah, and that's not toilet paper, which is not a problem, but it is plastics. It is anything really, you know. I mean, our worst enemy are those wipes.
Kleenex.
Humid wipes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to the pandemic, they were only used for babies, and today everybody is using them. And it is the worst enemies for utilities because it clogs pumps, destroys pumps, it clogs pretreatment systems. And it's a lot of waste because it's not degradable. Then primary treatment is sort of obsolete. You don't really need it. There we are referring to primary settling tanks to remove part of the organic load. That can be very efficient for a large wastewater treatment plant that uses, that passes this primary sludge to a digester to produce methane and to reduce the size of the biological reactor, because it reduces your retention time and it also optimizes energy use. But that's only applicable to large wastewater treatment plants. Secondary treatment is our biological treatment, or our biological reactor, which is basically an activated sludge treatment, which can have different configurations. It can be anaerobic, anoxic, aerobic. It should always have an aerobic stage, but combining them with anaerobic or anoxic is very efficient, but because you have a more robust biological process. And on top of that, you obtain nutrient removals that are above 50%. In our case, it's even above 70%. Because nutrients, it's the least that you want in your treated effluent. Because nutrients, they provoke, which is one of the biggest challenges worldwide, very applicable also to the Baltics, for example, mm-hmm. you know, to the Baltic Sea, which is eutrophication. You never want nutrients in water. You always want it in soil. Then we pass on to tertiary treatment. And tertiary treatment is basically disinfection, filtration to reduce suspended solids still more. And then we are rather referring to advanced wastewater treatment when we want to reduce the percentage of nutrients even more by means of chemical dosing, remove so-called emerging contaminants, which are hormones, synthetic molecules, microplastics, and so on and so forth, to really have a treated effluent that without any doubt you can discharge to a natural water body. There we again need to distinguish between as of when is it worth to do it or not, you know, because I very much believe in natural processes, which is the reason why we got involved in artificial wetlands. Artificial or constructed wetlands or tertiary wetlands, it's not a business really, or it's difficult to make it a business because it occupies land, and land is increasingly valuable. And this, you know, as in our case, as we are promoting it, as opposed to a secondary constructed wetland, is like 4 to 5 times smaller in terms of land use or footprint than a secondary constructed wetland. But where I'm going at is that it is most efficient to polish the treated effluent of a biological reactor naturally by the five kingdoms, which mm-hmm. is microorganisms, mushrooms, no, and other fungi, plants, and the fifth one is algae. They are very, very efficient agents to treat wastewater or the treated effluent of a wastewater treatment plant biologically. Very cheap, while you ferment landscaping, and most important, you ferment biodiversity. So that's a little bit my vision, let's say, how wastewater should be treated. And what I want to say with all this is as well that we always need to take into consideration cost and investment. Why? Because why should we, like in Orange County, treat wastewater or polish wastewater ultimately with reverse osmosis, then re-inject that completely potabilized water into an aquifer for it then to be reused in irrigation of crop? That doesn't make sense. That's stupid. Treat an effluent out of your secondary or tertiary treatment is more than enough to be reused then in for the irrigation of certain crops, apple trees, as they have in California, or cotton, maybe not rice. I'm not an expert, yeah, but it's certainly good enough to irrigate oranges.
So to further segment the wastewater treatment processes so that different, I guess, different levels of purified water go to different uses, right? This is what you're proposing. Constructed wetlands as tertiary treatments instead of secondary treatments. These would then be used for the most potable or the most pure water instead of water used for irrigation.
No, it's no, the tertiary wetland is a way to polish in a very efficient way. Investment may even be a little higher than the investment into a traditional tertiary treatment, but operating costs are way lower. Take the example of Switzerland. Switzerland has plenty of wastewater treatment plants. Almost every village there's hardly, and this may be a good way to pass on to decentralization of wastewater treatment and recycling, as opposed to centralization of wastewater treatment and recycling. Switzerland has a very decentralized way of treating its wastewater. Practically every municipality is connected to sewerage and eventually a wastewater treatment plant. I'm not saying that every village has its proper wastewater treatment plant, although that is today something feasible and much more with a proposition as we have it with our prefabricated wastewater treatment plants. Switzerland is a very resourceful country in terms of water. So it has plenty of waters, rivers, little streams, wetlands, lakes, natural systems. So if you discharge to those natural water bodies, you automatically, or you extremely cheap, because they didn't even do the investment into their rivers and lakes, but they're being treated naturally while, again, you ferment biodiversity. And people tell me that they visit Switzerland because it's so beautiful, because of its lakes, rivers, and streams.
In this case, what are you discharging into the natural systems or the rivers? What kind of water are you discharging?
You discharge typically treated water that has gone through some tertiary treatment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But sometimes even only treated water that has been only, that is coming directly out of the biological reactor, and maybe they disinfected a little bit because of the of the coliforms. With that, you're done. That's the principle also of our product. Our product has been developed because septic systems do so much harm in water bodies.
What septic systems are you talking about?
Cesspools, septic tanks, biodigesters, lagooning, any type of what we call primary treatment does harm in water bodies. Now, it's very different comparing Poland with Durango or Coahuila or Chihuahua or some Arizona, which is very arid land. No, and it's not a problem to install a septic system in arid land with an appropriate leach field because it's so far away from a water body. But it's stupid. It's still stupid because you wave or you miss the opportunity to recycle in this arid land, which is typically subject to water stress, to reuse the treated water in irrigation. That was my motivation when arriving in Mexico, to get involved into wastewater treatment and more so into decentralized wastewater treatment, because in Mexico, you have regions where you have a lot of water mm-hmm. and you have regions where you have very little water. And all over Mexico, water infrastructure is very deficient. Lack of sewerage lines, wastewater treatment plants. They say that 20% of wastewater treatment plants actually work. Half of them work, half of this 10% works at an efficiency of 60%. And 80% of the wastewater is inappropriately or not treated and does a lot of harm in the environment.
What are the boundaries between what you would consider treated water and untreated water?
Raw wastewater, and that's, on one hand, that's wastewater from a human source. And then you obviously have industrial wastewater, raw wastewater from milk, cheese, beer, spirits, fruit, vegetables, any processing, and obviously also industrial wastewaters that carry non-organic components. All that is doing a lot of harm in the environment. So then we pass on to wastewater that is inappropriately treated, which is basically those primary treatments. So you have a hole or you have a tank and you treat it without the addition of oxygen, and you will get and you will produce a lot of methane, which they say does also harm in terms of climate change, and you produce a treated effluent that still does a lot of harm in the environment. And then thirdly, you get to treated wastewater with in a secondary process where you will always add oxygen, where you have fine bubbling, where you have diffusion air, diffused oxygen that increases your dissolved oxygen values in your reactor, and that way activates, that's why we talk about activated sludge process, because we activate the metabolism of aerobic bacteria. So that will be much more appropriate, because treating it more sometimes can even do harm to natural systems. The example here would be the Lake of Luzerne, where I was born and raised. The Lake of Luzerne is too clean.
I didn't realize that's possible. Does nothing grow in it?
No fish.
And is this something that happened over the years?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because in the backyard of Luzerne, on the countryside, mm-hmm. we have other lakes that were suffering a lot from eutrophication, because farmers, and that's, I'm talking about the 80s, but it's up until the day practice in Switzerland to bring out manure to the fields. Mm-hmm. And at the time, they brought out the manure too close to the lakes, which provoked that they were completely eutrophicized. Mm-hmm. They installed aeration systems in these lakes. That's how they recovered them. I understand that they're still installed, but they I don't know how regularly or if they still put them into operations once in a while. Mm-hmm.
I assume that breaking into something like key infrastructure services like wastewater treatment or even energy is quite difficult to do privately. For example, here in Europe, breaking into the wastewater treatment industry would be very difficult, because it's all, one, centralized, two, the systems are all interconnected and well-placed.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. There are still plenty of septic systems. I mean, take this company, this Slovak company, that is today using the technology that has originally been developed in the Czech Republic, which is an upflow filtration technology. That's for the clarifier, the last stage of the secondary treatment. They sell, together with their sister company in Lithuania, more than 10,000 units in 30 countries per year. That's very interesting because it's an Eastern European company and there's many, many competitors in Eastern Europe. So these 10,000 units, the Lithuanian company is selling 80% in nationally, while the Slovak company is exporting most of it. But where I'm going is that despite the fact that this product exists since 20 years, there's still a lot of work. And there's a lot of work to do still in Southern Europe that depends on septic systems too. Now, where am I going? The success, why do you install a wastewater treatment plant? For four reasons: regulatory, economic reasons, then I call it environmental consciousness, marketing, foment sustainability, social responsibility, blah, blah, blah. And four, because you simply lack water. That's your prime motivations to invest into a wastewater treatment plant. Now, you know how we are in Europe. I mean, we're obviously very conscient, but ultimately, we are much more driven by the second factor, which is economic. In a few words, the success of this product is not because there has been regulatory pressure, of course, but people were not forced to replace their septic systems by small wastewater treatment plants. Regulations were just a little stricter in terms of the design of septic systems. Mm-hmm. And secondly, the economic factor is that a septic system you need to service, and it doesn't produce any value for you as an owner of that septic system. Yeah, because you need to contract a service for desludging every year or three, which is cost. No, ultimately, it's the same story like a photovoltaic installation or a solar heater. Eventually, it will be paid back. And yes, water has a huge disadvantage in comparison to environmental technology that is geared to energy efficiency or energy generation, because water is not appropriately priced. And there's people that claim, okay, there's a right for water. Yeah, but how much? 150, 250, 500 liters per person per day? No, 30 maybe. But everything beyond that should be priced at market rates, which is investment as well as the operation of the wastewater treatment plant has to be covered.
So who are your key customers that are buying from you?
Our best customers are architects. Architects in Mexico, they are not only driven by economics, they also have a different ambition. No, they want to leave something for future generations. A visible imprint. They're artists in that sense. They're very competent, because they are good in, they know a little bit of everything and obviously a lot about architectural design. So they're conscient and they're interested. And we have the privilege in Mexico to have a great generation of architects. And that's Generation X up until the millennials, let's say, that feel obliged to design appropriately. Designing appropriately today is environmentally conscious design for construction. No, so that is certainly our preferred clients. The public client is also very, very interesting. Take Eastern Europe. Today in the Czech Republic, for example, they offer incentives to homeowners, and that's economic incentives, to install a small wastewater treatment plant, because it is so much cheaper and so much faster to resolve a wastewater treatment issue in a small, remote provincial village by means of decentralized wastewater treatment, rather than connecting all these homes in a not dense population. It is so much more efficient to treat that wastewater in a decentralized way. I'll give you an example. Last year, I found out about a home, a farmer's house in Switzerland. And Switzerland may not be a good example because construction costs being so high, but it's very popular by a farmhouse. Mm-hmm. And the authorities force the homeowner to connect itself to the sewerage, which was 2 kilometers away. Now, that's an investment of 100,000 Swiss francs. And they could do it with a small wastewater treatment. They could resolve the issue with a small wastewater treatment plant, costs 10,000 Swiss francs. And the deployment is obviously so much faster because with land ownership, expropriations, and no, and the process of building a sewerage line is very, very, I mean, takes a lot of time, no, with permits and everything. And on top of that, no, I mean, take Switzerland again as an example, the sewerage lines, they have all been installed 50 years ago or 40. So they all need to be attended, renovated, improved, which is massive, massive cost that is only justified by what we've been talking about in the beginning, which is the intrinsic value of wastewater in terms of energy, in terms of nutrients, in terms of water.
Would you say then that the regulatory or the policy environment currently is on the side of wastewater recycling?
No, it's not.
In what ways does it have to change? Or how does it make it difficult?
The authorities do not trust the individual to start with. Fortunately, we are not that bad in that respect in Europe. One, somebody is allowed to have a small wastewater treatment plant in its backyard. In the US, that is more or less prohibited. You can buy a gun on every corner, but you cannot have, no, you cannot have a microbiological zoo in your backyard. Imagine you need to connect all those relatively large lots to sewerage and then to the municipal wastewater treatment plant. The US cannot pay that under its philosophy of having privately installed and operated infrastructure. So the US must change eventually.
Mm-hmm.
No? So that is one example where regulation certainly doesn't help. And maybe there's also lobbying. The wastewater treatment industry is massive, but it does a lot of harm. And there I'm not referring to all those companies that make zillions, on fake, to me, sometimes fake innovation, because I often refer here in Mexico to, our main technology is God's technology. Yeah, because it's the microbiological, it's the biological process.
Yeah.
And then, but we obviously also talk about AI in wastewater treatment and so on and so forth. No, mm-hmm. It's really not a priority. Automation, remote control, online monitoring of biological as well as electrical and electromechanical parameters and so on and so forth.
This fake innovation, is that such as what's often given to individual consumers, which is something you put on the tap that supposedly filters your water for you extra? These
absolutely
hard water,
great
those
example.
Type of things? Right. Yeah.
Great example. Yeah. I'm also saying, we settled 70,000 years ago, and for 69,900 years, we've been drinking contaminated water. Some of us it made stronger. Most of us it made stronger rather than weaker. And I know of the tremendous implications of wastewater, and that it is a sanitary issue and so on and so forth. No, I'm not. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
No, this is not an absolute statement. Turning to the wastewater treatment industry, one is investment. That's okay. We have to make sure that the economy is running. That is important. Yeah, but you need to look at it also from a concept of what is appropriate, what is adequate.
Mm-hmm.
No, it is inappropriate to potabilize in the last stage with reverse osmosis. The treated wastewater to then reinject into an aquifer, as the example in the beginning on Orange County.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Doesn't make sense.
Mm.
It's inappropriate. It's too costly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. But other things, the wastewater industry produces is a lot of gases. No, we foment climate change. Then many use chemical agents. With the chemical agents, to complete No, the wastewater treatment with the chemical agent, you end up with a sludge that cannot be composted and be reused as a biological fertilizer. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, no, that industry is producing a lot of, is responsible for a lot of energy consumption, yeah, and environmental footprint with all the consumables and all the equipment and all the maintenance and spare parts that need to be attended all the time when running a wastewater treatment plant correctly.
What, in your mind, is the future of the decentralization of wastewater recycling? Because you've talked a lot about individual consumers and, let's say, a village house, but what about people living in densely packed cities?
I mean, large cities obviously need a large wastewater treatment plant, no doubt whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's more, because it's the most efficient way to produce value, ultimately. Yeah, it's not that easy operating a big wastewater treatment plant that receives discharges from hospitals, mechanical workshops, smaller and medium and big size industries, and obviously households. It's very difficult to make mm-hmm. sure that your biology is working correctly, no, in mm-hmm. when you get such a diverse mix of contaminants. But I will not question centralized wastewater treatment plants as a principle, no, and much less with all the possibilities we today have in producing that value, no, be it in terms of energy, be it in terms of nutrients, or be it in terms of water. Take the example of Mexico City. Mexico City has a population of 9 million people. When you add the suburbs, no, which are in another state already, no, we're probably talking about 24 or 23 or 25 million people. Our potable water sources are provided by wells in the city. These wells have provoked that the city has, has sunk, because we have extracted excessively these wells. And today we're pumping from up to 2,000 meters deep, if I'm not mistaken. And then we have a second important source, which is a water system, which is called Cutzamala, no, that provides for around 30% of water supply in the metropolitan zone. Now, this water is being distributed primarily via gravity to households. In that supply, we lose 40% of the water, half of it in potable water supply, which is the public water supply mm-hmm. distribution, and the other half at the households mm-hmm. with running toilets, for example. Bad quality, cheap toilets that are running all day long and nobody acts. Then we recollect all that wastewater again, including the potable water, the rainwater, and we bring it out of the city, no? Which is mm-hmm. to a place that is like 80 kilometers away, to mm-hmm. treat it in one of the biggest wastewater treatment, in the biggest wastewater treatment plant of Latin America, with a population equivalent of, I think, 11 million people. Mm-hmm. No, that's the capacity.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay if it would work, but it's also nonsense. Wouldn't it be much smarter in a green city like Mexico City, because it's green, people don't know, but it's a green city. Would it not be much better to have at least some tiny wastewater treatment plants or medium-sized wastewater treatment plants or nicely distributed wastewater treatment plants throughout the entire metropolitan zone to reuse the treated water in irrigation at the point of consumption, reducing that way also the loss of the aforementioned loss of 40% by half? Remember that worldwide, Around 80% of water is consumed in irrigation. The rest is industry and households, or 30%, sorry. I think it's about around 80%, or if not, then it's 70%. Mm-hmm. Where I'm going is that, the 70% is also a relative value, because a lot of irrigation is very inefficient irrigation, so it will recharge aquifers. But you see the concept, that the answer ultimately, Sarah, is there's not one solution. There's many solutions, and ultimately it has to be a combination of centralized and decentralized.
If you had to give advice to someone who wants to work in, wastewater treatment in the future at any level or in the water industry, what advice would you give them?
Always give first priority to natural ways of treating wastewater. Yeah, because these solutions, they're around since, in the Middle Ages, they separated solids from liquids. Because they didn't have fertilizer made in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
So they used the solids as fertilizers, and the treated water, ended up in some sump, a wetland,
mm-hmm.
and was treated. Around the same time, here in Mexico City, this was a lake. And in this lake, they had three islands, which were reserved to sacred buildings, the pyramids, temples. Around those islands, they were connected with what we call chinampas. A chinampa, on the chinampas, is a floating island. It's a floating wetland. That's where people lived and produced food. And as these floating wetlands, they were floating, there was a lot of rooting, a lot of roots that formed surface for bacteria to grow on and treat the wastewater produced on the chinampas by people and animals and priests and kings. To keep it short, saying that the Aztecs, they had a way more advanced and way more intelligent way of managing water than the Spanish that didn't get it and destroyed everything. You can go back hundreds of years, or you go back 30, 40, or 50 years, mentioning Biosphere 2. No, I don't know if you have the document. I've seen the documentary, and if not, I highly recommend it to you, which is an experiment in New Mexico in early 90s. We know how to treat wastewater and produce value in a very basic way as well. And also, the solution, again, it should be technified, yes, but we should make best and most efficient use of our most efficient technology, which is biological processes, natural treatments. It's the beauty of microbiology, the endemic microbiology. That's always the best. But I'm not against at all of adding exogenous microorganisms to a wastewater treatment process. So biotechnology is a massive opportunity in our field. Take a fat or grease trap. We should use microorganisms specialized in the treatment of fats and oils, to do that job, because nature cannot do it. And the wastewater treatment plant, the municipal wastewater treatment plant, is suffering a lot from excess soaps, greases, and fats that it receives.
If you enjoyed this episode, give us a follow and share with your friends.